The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Ira Weintraub on the other side. So tis the season for lists, Ira. You get to this point in the sports calendar. You got the NBA, you got the NHL. If your teams are, you got Major League Baseball, but if your team sucks, you aren't talking that every day.
And you're not even bringing up the list that I love to make fun of every year, which is when coaches in college football, they rank the coaches every year. And you have one bad year, you drop like 30 spots. You have one good year, you move up 80 spots, and people overreact. Do you know that Jim Harbaugh forgot and then remembered how to coach over a 2-year span and moved up and down like 15 and 20 spots each time? Like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So it's not silly list. It's a different list you're talking about.
Look, man. Every show, every site, they're putting up lists. So I tend to just because it sparks debate, and they just some of them just infuriate me. Like then when ESPN did that list of the top 100 players all time in the NBA, and they had John Stockton. No, they had Allen Iverson, Steve Nash. And John Stockton all ahead of Isaiah Thomas.
Here you go, hate on Canada again.
Are you kidding me? This is a joke, right? But anyway, I tend to avoid most of them. But I saw one yesterday in passing, and I was like, man, this might be the most spot-on list NBA-wise that I've seen. And it was Colin Cowherd, who, hey, man, Colin Cowherd, he references us from time to time when he's talking Michigan recruiting. So definitely give a shout out to him for that. But his all-time starting five, and tell me if you're with this, Ira. I don't know how you could disagree with this first string, his first team. He has Magic at the one, Michael at the two, LeBron at the three, Larry Bird at the four, because you got to have some shooting, right? You got to have some shooting in the lineup. Like pure shooting, and then he has Kareem at the five. I can't think of a better starting five than that.
So,
those guys in their prime.
Yeah, so that is a very 2022 roster lineup. If you did that lineup when all those guys actually played, LeBron, or if you need shooting, then LeBron comes off the bench, or if you want LeBron in the starting lineup, Bird comes off the bench. Because 1980, that four man has to be an actual four. Larry Bird was the three. Because McHale played four, right? McHale was the four man on that team. I'm not disagreeing with the list.
He was big enough to play the four.
He was the three. McHale played four, and Parrish played the five. It doesn't matter if he was tall enough. He couldn't jump. He played the three. The only guy that he jumped higher than is your favorite clean player of all time, Bill Laimbeer.
Rick Mahorn played the four.
Rick Mahorn was much bigger, like thickness bigger than Larry Bird.
Man,
but I'm saying
I would live with it because they got to check me too.
If someone had this list in 1980, they never would have even thought about putting Larry Bird at the four. It wouldn't even be a thought process. That's the evolution of the game, putting Larry Bird on an all-time team at the four and having him be your stretch four.
I tell you what, in any era, the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 20s, 2010s. If you told me I could have Larry Bird, but I could only have him if he played the four, I'd be fine. I put him in my first. He'd be in my start. If you told me the only way I could have Larry Bird was if you play him at the four in any era, I'm taking him. Because even if I thought he'd have problems defending guys, and I'd never looked at Larry Bird as a great defender anyway. He was solid. But you got to check him. And none of them are checking Larry Bird. Like, none of them are checking Larry Bird.
That's the point of that. My comment was because that's a modern look at it. If it was a old school look at it, your four would have been Tim Duncan.
So let me get to the second string. And this is where, some hairs will be split. The debate will rage on because I don't know how many people would debate the first string, but the second string was what got me. The second string was like, okay, Colin's paying attention. He kind of gets it on the NBA. He understands history. He knows about winners. He knows about who some of the greatest players in this game were and are, right? And coming up with his second string, with his two. So of course, Ira, you're gonna have Wilt. You're gonna have Wilt in there. I mean, some people might go Bill Russell there. Because he won more.
Yeah.
Because he won more. But he, with his second string, he decided, he said, look, man, my five man in my all-time starting or second string all-time starting five is going to be Wilt. You know, all right. And so then his four man, some people will go, if you can play them together, some people would go Bill Russell. But he said, no, Tim Duncan. Okay, I can go for that. He had Dr. J as his three, Kobe as his two,
and
on his second
one.
Team,
he had Isaiah as his one.
Starting five, Isaiah Thomas, Mr. Wine Tribe. Isaiah Thomas.
So as a collective of 10
as
players,
point guard.
As a collection of 10 players, two at each position, he's really close. Like, I agree. I think he's really close. If you want to truly call guys by their positions, though, you have a debate at the small forward spot. Duncan's the best power forward of all time. Truly according to their positions, based on what they played. I know he played a fair amount of center too as he got older in his career, but he's really a power forward playing out of position at center because that's what they played him. Mm-hmm. Duncan is the best power forward of all time. Larry Bird is the best shooting three of all time, but LeBron is the better physical specimen player at the three of all. So it's a debate. I think there's no debate at one and two. I think that if Isaiah was born in an 8-inch taller body, it would be a great conversation. But no one's going to ever compete with Magic because Magic is 6'9", right? Like, there's just nothing you can do about the size. He's just always going to dominate that position. I agree with the 1, 2, 3 and the 5 on the first team. I would have put Duncan there.
I got to have Larry Bird on
so,
that team.
I understand that. LeBron is the guy that displaced Larry Bird from that team, right? When you talk about the all-time team.
Because he's skilled enough.
He averaged, Sam, in his last, like, almost the second half of his career, he averaged 10 rebounds a game. I think part of that's because he was going against Dr. J and not against a power forward for rebounding. But still, he did average double digits in rebounding. But he'd be giving away 20 or 30 pounds and an inch or two to Rick Mahorn and those types of players.
Yeah, and he would give, no offense to Rick Mahorn. I love Rick Mahorn. He'd give Rick Mahorn work.
Oh,
Rick
he would.
Mahorn get done.
But he would also get beat up. That's all they would do to him. They'd run him around, and every time he stopped, he'd get shoved, right? They would just hit the crap out of him. Larry Bird's an unbelievable player. He's one of the all-time players. I'm not even disagreeing with that, but he was the three on the Celtics. He was a small forward. So if you're putting this team together, I'm going based on the position they played in their career. And so if you're doing it, LeBron's probably the better of the all-time players at the three, but on that team, Larry Bird fits better because you need more shooting.
You need more shooting as a team. And again, I think he's, you know, if I'm going with my top five guys, I'm throwing Larry Bird in that mix. Like, I think that you, as you rank your all-time players, I think I like where he fits in that mix, man. And I agree with that.
So that's like they do All-American teams now, right? You could have five centers on your All-American team. If they think the five best players in America are centers, you're going to have five centers on your All-American team. And that's how that seems to happen now. It's not a team. So if you want to pick the five best players of all time, give me the five best players of all time. If you want to give me the starting five as a team, give me a team. And you're saying he picked a team, which means you need to have a power forward at the power forward, a three at the three, a two at the two, and a one at the one. And he's got 1, 2, 3, and 5. I would disagree that he has a four at the four. Larry Bird's probably one of the top five players of all time, but say he's fifth and LeBron's second, you're behind him at that position. That's just the way it works.
Yeah, man. And I'll live with whatever shortcomings that there were and be totally fine. I like that second string.
I'll say this. The second team might beat the first team.
Yeah, on a given day, I absolutely agree.
In a seven-game series, it would go. I think that in a seven-game series, that would go seven.
Yeah, I mean, man, you got Kobe and Dr. J.
Yeah.
Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Will Zeke, who was able to beat Magic, by the way.
Right. I'm saying
who was able to beat Magic.
That second
and really beat Magic. Two times in a row, they just robbed him one of those. They robbed him in 88. But Zeke got Magic that year, too. So, I'm taking it. I'm taking it. Head to head. And then he got him the next year. yeah, I'm taking that. And then he didn't stop there because, you know, he knows, like, between the two of the modern guys, the modern guards, modern point guards, you know, you and I acknowledged this last year. Like, you got to, you know, Steph has moved ahead of Isaiah Thomas. On the all-time player list, Steph has moved ahead. Right? And as tough as it is for me to say that, because you know how much I love Zeke, that, hey, man, Steph is the best shooter of all time. Like, Larry, I mean, he just took the torch from Larry Bird. Until Steph Curry came along, I thought Larry Bird is the best shooter that there's ever been, and there won't be a better one. And then Steph Curry came along. And Ira, he's the best shooter that there's ever been, and I don't think we'll see a better one.
Sam, and the amazing thing about that stat, Larry Bird, in his best year in the NBA, you want to know what his three-point shooting percentage was? In his best year in the NBA, just under 43%. In his career, he was a 37, 38% three-point shooter. The game has changed, obviously. If he played now, he'd probably be better because he practiced more. But statistically speaking, he's not nearly close to that highly ranked in the list. He's just a superstar, was unbelievable at doing it. And we remember him being a great shooter. But percentage-wise, Steph passed him a long time ago.
Yeah, see, here's the thing, though. Because Steph, I mean, think about how we would view Golden State. And if you transplant them to the 90s, right? And some of the shots they take. We'd be like, what the hell are they doing? These dudes throw up ridiculous shots. Like, ill-advised. They come down, they shoot in the first 5 seconds of the shot clock.
And
he's still five feet beyond the three-point line.
And he's still
like,
a 43% career three-point shooter. 43% for his career. And he shoots it from the logo.
Yeah, man. It's like, what are you doing? But obviously, they're putting up shots like that all the time. They practice it, right? They practice taking those shots. They're good shooters, and they practice those looks. Man, if you put Larry Bird in that environment,
he'd be unbelievable.
It would have been insane.
I know. I agree.
It would have been insane.
I agree. That's why I just bring up the stat because people have brought it up to us in the past. Statistically speaking, but yes, Larry Bird is when it comes to the best clutch and great jump shooting, Larry Bird's in that conversation, even though his numbers don't add up the same. But I'd love to have, because an old person, Sam's going to come through, like an older than that, is going to be like, don't forget about Pistol Pete. And you have a 3-point line, so you'll never know. And then someone did some random chart on him and like, yeah, he shot better than all of them, right? You never really know. Steph Curry has taken the torch. It was one to the next, right? And he has taken the torch. And Steph Curry has defined what long-distance shooting looks like in the NBA.
Yeah. And then his third string, I mean, you don't have Bill Russell in your top 15 is tough. So his third string, and this is where he throws Steph in, his backcourt is Steph and Jerry West, and then Charles Barkley at the 3, KD at the 4, and Shaq at the 5. Is where he goes with it. And I'm like, oh, man, how can you not have Bill Russell? And everything that he was an elite defender. He could obviously score. I mean, this, all the boxes that he checked, it'd be tough for me to not have him on one of these teams. Here's the problem. I don't know how you would squeeze him in. I don't know how you would squeeze him in, because I wouldn't necessarily put him over any on the first two strings. And on this one, who are you putting him on? You'd have to move Shaq out. Or you'd have to play, as ridiculous as it sounds, you'd have to play Charles Barkley out of position at the two. At the two. Which is not ideal, but I might have to roll with it in order to get Bill Russell on the team. So
yeah, because Russell is still the greatest winner in the NBA history. Yeah, the thing with Russell, I mean, Russell is an awesome defensive player, and Russell's on a great team. And here's the part of it's really hard to compare eras at times. And Russell is maybe the best of those examples. He was a little undersized. Somehow he still managed to have those great bouts with Wilt, but Wilt was bigger than him. Russell was not the offensive player that Wilt was, but Russell may be the best defensive center ever still. Maybe Mutombo, right? Maybe in that conversation. It's an interesting conversation because the the era that Russell played in, Chamberlain lasted a little bit later. And I think it carried over into a little bit into the Kareem era, and it carries into, and maybe because Chamberlain had the athleticism of being an unbelievable volleyball player, and you see all these other things, and being an unbelievable athlete, and, you know, his stories of other things, right? So, that's athleticism too, Sake. So.
Hey, man, I think it's a whole lot of dudes challenging that record. They just aren't public about it. Like,
true. All right, read the third team one more time.
Steph, Jerry West, Charles Barkley, KD, and Shaq.
And this also gets into the conversation that you and I have had in the past as well. Jerry West is in the same conversation as Bob Cousy and other guys that you look at them and you watch their film, they wouldn't play now, right? It's a different game. Things have evolved, right? But maybe they would, because they would have been training all the time and they'd be athletically different, or they would look different. But that's the comparing eras part. And Jerry West is one of the all-time greatest players in the history of the NBA. But at the same time, he's not as good as a handful of maybe shooting guards in the league right now. Right? That's why the era comparison is so difficult in pretty much every sport.
And Charles Barkley, you see him now, Charles Barkley. He was the round mound of rebound, and he's a big fella now. But there was a span of time between, like, 88 and 93. Where you had Svelte Charles, where Charles was slim, Ira. He was slim. Charles Barkley was the second best player on the Dream Team. Like, it, no question about it, with how he played and where he was in his game. I mean, he was shooting threes. He could put it on the deck. He could still bang in the post. He was still rebounding. He was excellent in transition. That Charles Barkley, from 88 to like 93, I would feel fine. If it meant getting Bill Russell on my team, I would feel fine playing Charles at the two. It's not ideal, but if that's what I had to do to get Bill Russell on the squad, Jerry West had to sit.
Hey,
Jerry
Sam, West had to sit out. In the 94-95 season, Barkley did shoot 34% from three. I think he took like five of them, but still. Sam, in Barkley's career, this is an amazing stat. How many Barkley played 16 seasons in the NBA. 16 seasons in the NBA. How many seasons in the NBA do you think he averaged under double digits in rebounds per game out of 16 seasons?
Three?
How about his rookie year at 8.6? That's it. That's it.
Hey, man. Dude, and then scoring, unbelievable rebounder.
And then in
to
scoring,
be 6'5"?
Yeah, and then in scoring, he was 14 points as a rookie. And then in his last 4 years of the league, he was at 19-2, 15-2, 16-1, and 14-5 in his years in Houston. But every other year in the league, he was over 20 points per game, capping out at 28.3 in the 87-88 season. He capped at 14.6 rebounds per game in the 86-87 season. Not pound for pound, inch for inch, he's in the conversation of best basketball player of all time, inch for inch, for what he did at his position.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, when you talk about the really short guys that are the under 6 foot guys, right, you always say, who's the best under 6 foot? When you talk about below the rim players, if you will, Charles Barkley, inch for inch, is one of the best of all time. But he will always he's always going to have an issue on these all whatever teams because of his height. And then so you're going to be you've got Duncan or you've got this guy. And they all have like 6 inches on him. And so he's going to always be given a short change. Because us short guys, and we can consider him one of us short guys, we get the shaft.
Let's qualify this. Charles was short for his position. But he wasn't a below-the-rim guy, Ira. I mean, Charles Barkley was bringing the thunder on people regularly in transition and in the half court. I mean, his standing vert, I bet you. I don't know if they even kept that stat back then. But Charles Barkley could get a rebound and standing vert rise up and dunk on people. I mean, he was as a 6'5 dude. And I'm talking over people, not I'm just going to stand still and dunk with no one around. He could grab a rebound, gather himself, and dunk on you. The dude was an unbelievable athlete. Again, is it a stretch to say put him at the two? Of course it is. I mean, he was a combo forward. But for the purposes of this team, The third team, hey, man. Yeah, he be my two on this squad, and I live with it.
All right, so and Sam, and my dad says that you have to bench Barkley and you have to put Elgin Baylor over him. So Elgin Baylor, who averaged 27 point something points per game, but wow, and he averaged 13.5 rebounds per game. He was 6'5 as a small forward. Wow, there's a lot of competition. The first team in the second, like that's why I said the top like 10 guys, give or take. Although we can debate the four man if you want to on like, but for the most part, like the top 10, you get to the third team, the debates start to rage a little bit more. And then you start bringing like old school fans will bring in their era, right? New school fans are bringing players from their era. But how do you truly compare like Kevin Durant and Elgin Baylor? Like, how do you make that comparison, right? If they both can play the small forward or the power forward, but one's 6'5", the other one's 7 foot. Like, how do you even compare them? One had the 3-point line and dominates with it. The other guy didn't have it at all. Like, it's so that's why the comparing errors thing, eventually you're going to have the debates hit a brick wall.
Yeah. And look, Zeke, he's taking issue with my picking Zeke, picking his namesake. But listen, man, I said, hey, Steph is the greatest shooter of all time. He would rank ahead of Isaiah Thomas, probably on an all-time list.
And thank you to Jimmy Whitman. He's right. Oscar Robertson over Jerry West. I agree with that one. The big O should be over Jerry West. He averaged a triple-double.
Yeah. He was LeBron before LeBron. He was LeBron before LeBron with everything that he could do on the court, for sure. Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough omission as well. But you look at the guys as an assist man, there is no question, Zeke, that Isaiah is a better assist man. There's no question. It's a different game. But man, you know, people sleep on how good of a setup man Zeke was. Like even in the conversation about John Stockton, he was a great assist man. And look at Isaiah's career numbers, and then look at Stockton's. And I tell you what, I know there was a season in there where Isaiah Thomas averaged nearly 14 assists per game. So he did what Stockton did. He just knew that man, you can't win a championship like that. I mean, you got to be able to take over a game. John Stockton can never do that. Obviously, Steph can. Steph can take over a game. See, but you look at he played it, the teams that he plays on, the great players that he's played with. He has had some seasons where, you know what? As good as the Pistons supporting cast, the Zeke supporting cast was, and it was really good, I think Steph's supporting cast seemed better. I don't think it's a stretch to even say that. But great, both great players. But if I'm going my second string on this squad, it's definitely Zeke. We need to get to a break. As we do, you're in the market for a new vehicle, get on board with Brighton Ford. You well-qualified lessees out there, guess what? Guess what, people? Now's the time to go see our friend John Cuter and his great crew, because through the end of May, well-qualified lessees can lease a 2022 Ford Edge SEL for as low as $287 a month, a 2022 Bronco Sport Big Ben for as low as $324 a month, or a 2022 F-150 for as low as $250 a month, all with only $2,000 down. All you have to do is call 1-800-NEW-FORD for more details, or see John Cuter and his crew, 8240 West Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan, for all the details. And then you can get on board with Brighton Ford. When we come back on the other side, it's time to have some bacon. Yes, we're going to talk about Wolverine Weekend. Yes, I'm going to have Bake shoot some good vibes at me because today is the release day for my Jordan brand golf shoes. I'm counting down the time. I mean, in an hour, Ira, they go live. I got to be ready. We got to get off sharp with Bakes so I can get my Jordan spikes. Hopefully that happens. But we got to talk about Nick and Jimbo. Jimbo and Nick. And how they're going at one another. In a way in which I saw coming. That coaches were going to start calling each other out. We'll talk to Bakes about that on the other side here. On the Michigan Insider. On Sports Talk 1050 WTKA The Ticket. The official voice of University of Michigan Sports Ann Arbor. Accumulus Station.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft. Presented by Bud Light. Live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival. featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.